I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode. My name is Iman, and I am joined by Yasmin. As of right now, you guys know the deal. You can find us on Rappers Over Everything feed on your podcast, on all of the podcast listening apps. You can also find us on YouTube. And we would love it if you would like, comment, subscribe, share with all of your friends. Yasmin, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm ready for this NBA season to begin.
Yeah, but it felt like it was taking so long, and then preseason's already finished. Very eventful preseason. But yeah, I'm excited for the season.
As am I. Let's talk a little bit about that preseason. So the Raptors finished it 3-2, and two of those three wins included overtime games against the Celtics, which the one thing I want, Elam ending for the preseason, please spare us, give us the Elam ending. Let's see how that works. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about preseason. What were your thoughts and what you saw from the Raptors?
They looked pretty much like I expected. They still have a lot of young faces to like kind of integrate and get used to the new system and like working, not even a new system, but just the Raptors system, like the style in which they play. They're still like really young guys that need to get used to it. But I saw things that were kind of iffy, like with the shooting, which is kind of like an expected issue. I feel like we were kind of waiting for. They're going to have games where they cannot make a shot to save their lives. And they're going to have games where they're going to probably like, you know, break a record in terms of making threes for Raptors games. But, you know, I wasn't too surprised when I saw that. But I feel like this team has a high ceiling. I feel like they're going to be good. But I feel like when they find their rhythm and with all of the individual pieces on the team who we are expecting to see a leap from, whether small or big, when you think about people like Precious and Scotty, and you think about the standard of play that you get from players like Fred and Pascal and Gary, when you put all those pieces together, I think this is a team that has the potential to find a rhythm as the season goes along. I feel like they have the perfect recipe for that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I like the fact that you said you could just, like, the high variance in these three-point shooters. Like, you have your OGs, your Fred, and your Garys as sort of the three best shooters on the team that you kind of expect to relatively just be good. But then you have, like, these stretches from Precious Achiuwa or these stretches from Chris Boucher that we've seen in the past or even Pascal Siakam that are, like, it's incredibly high variance where we might just have a game where all of them are on and you're like, what? Is this the greatest three-point shooting team I've ever seen? And then you might get, like, a five-game stretch where no one is able to hit a three except for Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, I think it's something that we just have to accept as a trade-off for the style of play that they do. You know, if you're going to have all these small forwards, all of these forwards on the court, simultaneously, you're going to have to give up on your steady three-point shooting rate. You know what I mean? Any team would have to. Yeah. It's not, I think, Raptors specific. I think the reason why teams have those shifty two guards and stuff, and, you know, they have a plethora of skilled two guards, is to avoid stretches like that. But they also give away defensive size, and the ability to kind of, you know, lock off the interior successfully like the Raptors are able to. But I think the Raptors kind of did their calculations and, you know, decided that that's something they're willing to give willing to trade off for playoff basketball, for you know, just every team has to trade something off. And I think this is just I think it's something that people notice with the Raptors because it's in the three-point era, so yeah. It's something that just kind of stands out particularly strongly.
Yeah, which is why like the Cavs are so fascinating because they have a couple of those shifty two guards to create offense for them. And then they've got the big bigs, but they're just like wing deficient. Like that was their sort of trade-off. It'd be really interesting to watch these kind of chess matches that these GMs who've created these like teams that are very unique, that almost feel gimmicky in a way, and to see if they can actually pay off in the regular season and in the playoffs. Like I'm so excited to watch the Timberwolves, the Raptors, the Cavs, and just all of these gimmicky teams. And I trust the Raptors, I think, more than any of those as of right now. But
Yeah, they're
let's
all like so stylistically different. I think the season's
yeah.
going to be especially fun because of that.
Yeah, it's like a chess match and you like which style is going to beat out. Let's pivot to some of those. Okay, so right now the season is about to begin. The Raptors have made their final cuts. We know what the entirety of the roster is going to be. And we got to watch a lot of these young guys, these end of the bench players play. I've become a fan of many a dude, and I want to talk to you about what you've seen from some of the end of the bench guys and the guys that made the team. Let's start off with, I think, everyone's favorite. Everyone knew he was going to be a lock right away. Rexdale's very own, Delano Banton. What are your thoughts?
I think with Banton, like I think he's like honestly the only end of bench guy I really like stood out to me particularly well like this preseason because I think everyone was seeing like this is his chance to demonstrate what he's capable of. Like he can take it if he wants to, or he can just be relegated to no minutes in the season. And he seized it, you know. I think he gave us exactly what we were waiting to see. And he's such a unique player that fits exactly into the scheme of what the Raptors are trying to do with the size coupled with the passing ability and the ability to distribute. So having larger players with really good court awareness is something they have, you know, in tenfold. So to be able to add Batten into that fold is really cool to me, and I think he's earned some, you know, some run in early in the season and to see how he stacks up against other professional players.
I completely agree. I think it's such a joy to watch Banton play. Like I look at this Raptors team and I'm like, yeah, in order for them to get anything, we talked about their half court offensive issues. So in order for them to get anything, it's a matter of pushing the pace, trying to score in semi transition, early offense, get that stuff going. And so you do see it quite often. I mean, Fred sometimes can walk the ball up, but you do see the Raptors really try to push the pace. And then you watch Delano come in and you're like, oh, they can play even faster. Oh, this change of pace is even like, it's even quicker. So it's so much fun to watch someone like that come in and just completely change the pace of the game. Let's talk about some of the other guys. Just for anyone who is unaware, the Raptors' final roster spots went to Justin Champagne, Juancho Hernangómez, Delano Banton, Jeff Doughton, and Ron Harper Jr. Any of those names stand out at you?
Champagne, obviously, because we did see him get some run last season, and I feel like he was always like the center of some sort of highlight moment for the Raptors games.
I was
So,
glad. I was worried initially just because of the injuries, he wasn't able to play in those early preseason games, so I'm glad that he's made the cut.
yeah. I think what's special about him is just the energy he brings, like his ability to rebound at his size. He's not like I think he's just, you know, he's an average forward, but he really gets up there, and I think that sort of spark, he's like someone you can plug in when they're really stagnant or
Yeah.
something's not clicking. He's the exact type of player that's you put him in and he's gonna try really hard and help boost the collective energy. And I think that's like that makes a lot of sense. The other spots, I'm not sure Hernan Gomez and Harper Jr. are gonna get any run. I feel like those are like really kind of just safety net guys. And they're
Yeah.
great options as safety net guys. But I think Champagne and Banton are the ones that we're gonna see every now and again on the court and get and see as a part of like those filler portions of games. Like they're perfect to plug in for our top, you know, eight guys or so.
No, I agree. I think the Raptors, as we saw it last year, you're not going to have health throughout the entirety of the season. We kind of saw the sort of role that Svi took when the Raptors desperately needed some sort of like 3-point shooting, and they just were down way too many bodies. That's when he sort of started to get some minutes, and I think that like Juancho kind of perfectly sort of fits in with that role. Theoretically, he's supposed to be a great 3-point shooter. We didn't get to see that totally in the preseason, although I think towards the end he started to hit some really key shots for the Raptors, and that's what they're really going to need him there for. And with Justin Champagne, really glad that he's on the team. I think he's someone who kind of, like, when you talk about the Raptors development system, he's someone who asked on to this team, wanted to be a Raptor. I think his exact quote was, "I didn't want to play anywhere else. I told my agent right away, right after my workout, that the Raptors were the team that he wanted to play with because of their development system, because of their track record with other undrafted guys and late first and second round picks." And so I'm excited to watch him get run with this team. I agree with you. I think he's someone, along with Delano Banton, that we're probably going to see get minutes in the regular season. And I'm going to have some over and unders that we're going to play around with. And some of those might have to do with minutes. I haven't really focused in on some of those end of the bench guys. Maybe I'll surprise you with one or two there. Any final words on the Raptors roster cuts? Anyone you were surprised you thought maybe would have made the team that didn't?
No, I think what I expected to happen. I feel like it was pretty natural decision. And plus, the Raptors tend to have like favorability for guys they've, you know, spent a little time on already. So I think that's why I wasn't surprised with this. It's very rare that they'll just pluck someone out of nowhere and give them a spot over someone they've spent, you know, a year or two on.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. And so let's switch over to the over and unders. We're at the start of the regular season. This is when people are putting out all of their over and unders. And I thought I would come up with my own because I don't, you know, like the 46.5 Vegas odds for the Raptors wins. What are those? What does that even mean? So I'm tossing any of those out and I've created some of my own and I want to go through them with you. Are you ready? All right. So. Let's start off with the Raptors win total. I think that that's probably the best place to start off. So like I said, I've seen anywhere between 45.5 to 48.5, and I've decided to go to 49.5. So do you think the Raptors are going to be a 50-win team this season or not?
I'm going to say last season was what, 49 or 48?
48. Last 48? Season was 48.
Yeah, I'm going to say they're 51 season this year. I'll say that. I feel like, all things considered, they'll have more time with the same roster. So I don't see why they wouldn't, you know, barring any issues with health, I think that they can pull it off. And, you know, the East has gotten stronger in some places, has remained the same in other places. I think the Raptors will be getting stronger along with everyone else. I'd say 50 on the dot, or like nothing below 48. I don't think they're going down from last season's win total.
I agree with that. I'm hitting the over. I wanted to do like 50 wins kind of feels like a lot, but they won, like you just said, 48 last year. I don't think that they've taken a step back. And I think when we talk about the East taking a step forward, sure. But like, I don't know that it's like so much so that I'm like, oh yeah, the Raptors are gonna, we need to knock two or three or four games off of the Raptors total. I just don't see that for the Raptors, considering they were so banged up last year as well. I don't know. I'm all in on this Raptors team. I think 50 is pretty, I feel very confident in saying they're going to win at least 50 games. Is that crazy? Am I too high on this team?
No, I don't think so. I feel like that's like been their thing for the last decade. So just bet the over.
that 100%. But and so here's the thing. I've been thinking about what it sort of takes to get to that 50 win mark in the Eastern Conference. And in the East, you got to play defense. That's the name of the game. You have to play defense. A team like the Atlanta Hawks, second in offense last year, but were like bottom of the league in defense. And where did they finish? They finished in the play-in outside of the technical top eight. In a normal year would not have been a playoff team. And I'm like, where do I think the Raptors defense is going to finish? Because I don't think that they're going to be a particularly good offensive team, at least in half court sets. I think that like even some of their offensive numbers last year kind of feel a little noisy, and I don't know how much they can sort of replicate some of that. But as long as they'll be elite defensively, I think that they'll win a lot of games. And so I'm throwing an off the wall one at you, because I said at the high end, I kind of like them as maybe at best the third best defense in this league. Feels really, really high, but I'm gonna give you an
Yeah.
over and under. Top six. No, top seven. Are they above the top seven mark or below the top seven mark, in
Top
your
seven,
opinion?
yeah. I'd say they're top seven.
Top
Top
six?
tops, no, that's I eh, I'm not as comfortable with top six. I think because it hasn't always been about like I think the Raptors' defensive schemes aren't like as clean cut as making sure the other team doesn't score, you know, above this rate or anything like that. It tends to be on a game-to-game basis. It tends to be extremely like situation based. And you know what I mean? Like they're not, for example, they're not like the Bucks with a very, you know, predictable defensive scheme where they look to do this and that. I think the Raptors are more like that's why Nick Nurse was voted best coach with adjustments because it's literally on a game-to-game basis. So because of that, like you could have a game where they play great defense and a team might have scored over 110 points. You know what I mean? But you might have noticed certain, and they might have won that game, but you might have noticed that they made an adjustment halfway through or something like that. I feel like it's just a little more noisy. When it comes to that. So I because of that, they'll be, I think, like a top seven defense, but everyone will know that they're like a top three.
Elite,
You know
yeah.
what I
Like when
mean?
it t okay, so let me tell you, because initially I was like top five, and then I decided to get a little, I said a little spicy with it, and I just kept going a little bit higher and higher. But here's my rationale. Here's my reasoning. They were top six after January 1st last season, very, very close to being top five, just a few decimal points off the Miami Heat, who played less games than the Raptors. And the Raptors did that without Fred VanVleet and without OG Anunoby for a good chunk of those games because both of those guys were hurt. And when I look at this season, I'm like, the Bucks, a team that you mentioned, right? Like, yes, a very sort of predictable defense. They do give up a lot of 3-point shots, which I know Raptor fans are kind of like wringing their hands over this Raptors team doing, but the Bucks defense is a drop defense. It's Brook Lopez standing down low, taking any sort of shot away from the basket. Brook Lopez, not entirely healthy. Didn't see it last year. They fell
Yeah.
to around the 15 mark. They were a middling defense. They weren't very scary at all. Bobby Portis puts the fear in. Sorry, no one. Maybe Nikola Mirotic. So I'm like, okay, the Bucks are kind of falling out of it. Also, we've seen the Celtics a couple of times in preseason already, and I think the lack of Robert Williams has been noticeable. The Raptors are not scared to attack on an Al Horford or even a Grant Williams down there. So I'm like, you know what? Until Robert Williams comes back, I don't know that the Celtics defense puts the fear in me that it would have done at the second half of last season. And I think the Heat defense, I know that they're, still gonna have Bam, still gonna have Jimmy, but I do think just the lack of an actual four for them there, and Jimmy taking a bit of a defense
Yeah.
beating will take them a step back. So I'm like, looking at this, and I'm like, three teams that you would theoretically imagine would be at the top are going to take major steps back. Does that at all make you believe the Raptors could be top six? Have I convinced you?
Top six in the league.
You're like, no.
Only because of the reasons that I gave that I
Yeah,
think it's
no, that's
like
fair.
so
That's
hard to
fair.
predict. Like I would say they're the top three, but I would, you know, the numbers won't always reflect that, but situationally, I would like trust them to always have some sort of answer defensively to the other team. Like, there's very few teams that can just leave them with their hands tied and leave them vulnerable. But yeah, I'd say you bought, but your points make a lot of sense. Like, there are a lot of teams in the East who will look, you know, a little bit deficient in certain parts of the court. And I'm interested to see, give me like a month of games and I'll have like an idea. Give me like 2 weeks of games and
I'm
I'll have
trying. I'm
an
trying to get people on this bandwagon that I don't even know that I'm like fully on board for, just because.
Yeah.
But I, you know what? I need to believe in something this season. I need to believe in something. And the
Yeah.
preseason has scared me a little bit from the offense. I'm not going to lie. So what do you have? So you have the over on the win total. So at least 50 wins. You have an over on 49.5, and an under on their defensive rating. All right. So let's move to the next one. I want to specifically focus in on OG Anunoby. He is someone that everyone's kind of talking about. He seems to be like the topic of conversation everywhere. And I get it because OG is great. And a lot of the conversation probably stems from the off-season reports about him wanting a bigger role and can he take a bigger role and what that sort of looks like on this team. And so let's talk about that. OG Anunoby last year, he averaged.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just over 17 points per game. He wants a bigger role. That's been reported, although he's never said it himself. We've never heard that those words come out of OG specifically. But I can see him take on kind of a bigger role. I've been a real fan of the OG Anunoby and Scottie Barnes chemistry. I think that, you know, Scottie says if there's one player that he'd want to play with, it is OG Anunoby. And I can kind of see a scenario where some of those bench lineups feature OG Anunoby and Scotty, where like OG is sort of your play finisher, which he's shown he can really do. And you really want to get Scotty the ball and you want to see his playmaking sort of develop. So I can see that being a really great pairing. So my question to you, OG Anunoby, 18 points over and or under?
I'm going to say over for
18 points. 18.5 over and under.
Yeah, I'm going to say over. It's for 18.5. I think he has the potential to do like a 19 point thing. Because I don't know why, but I have this hunch that Fred is going to take a step back a little bit and be more of a pure point guard than a shooting guard. Because I know that Fred's a scorer, you know what I mean? But I think that he's going to see that he has so many capable play finishers around him that he'll be more open. And I feel like he has developed over the years in helping mend that. The lack of playmaking that he has as a lead point guard. I think that he's actually like, he's improved that so much. So I think if that happens, like I'm predicting it will, I think that OG can really blossom with the increase in usage. So I'm going to say that I can see him having up to 19 points. You know, one more point. I can see that a couple more, you know, show-stopping games here and there. And that would bring up his average a little bit, but yeah, OG, I feel like there, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm sure he naturally, a young player who's capable, who's strong, who's healthy, who's young, would want a bigger role, you know. And isn't he up for money in like a year or two or something? So
it is coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up. So of course he'd want to demonstrate his abilities to, you know, the highest degree possible. And, you know, if that means he has to, you know, I'm sure he's talked to coaches about, you know, increasing his role. I feel like I'd be kind of worried if he didn't. Like you want overachievers in your starting lineup, you know.
No, that is very fair. I'm with you on that. I'm with you. 18.5 hitting the over. What was it? 17 a game last year. And I think he was hitting the over on 18 at the start of the year. But then, of course, he got hurt with the hip and the finger and all those
other
things.
Health is his biggest obstacle for OG.
For sure.
It always disrupts his flow.
So you talked about him already and the sort of role shifting for him, and that's Fred VanVleet. And I agree with you. I think we're going to see a change in Fred VanVleet's game, not only just being a pure point guard, but also playing off ball some because he is the team's best catch and shoot guy as of right now. Now, my question for you is specifically on that three-point shot. Not necessarily catch and shoot opportunities, it can be pull up, but what do you think his three-point averages for this season are going to be? I'm giving you the over and under the line at 10. Are you hitting the over on that or under on 10 attempts?
He was at what, 9 point something
I think it was like 8.7. It dropped because he did get injured at a certain point, okay, but he was hoisting up quite a bit.
Yeah, for attempts. Attempts, right? 10 attempts. I'm going to say right on the dot. Is that an option? Like above? I don't know.
If you're going to say 10.1 or 9.9, what are you giving me?
Like 10 point something?
Did Lowry ever do that?
I feel like he has. I feel like there was probably a time in 2019, 2020 that he did. But 10 attempts. I'm going to say under. I think he could do like a 9 point something. Because, yeah, 3 point shooting is.
So I'm looking through Lowry right now. The most he's done in his career is 8.
Eight, okay. So yeah, I think in the 3 point era, Fred can do like 9. So I'm gonna say under 10. I think 10 is a little ambitious because I can't really say that it's gonna be linear. Like, oh, Fred is gonna decrease his usage, therefore he's gonna take more threes. It could be Fred is gonna decrease his usage, keep his 3 point rate around the same, and just not drive as often, as frequently as usual, and just like stick to his.
So he was at 9.9 last season.
9.9,
according to, I'm on Basketball Reference right now.
Wow.
It says that he was at 9.9 in his 65 games last season.
So. Okay, so based on his record then in that case, yeah, I could see it going over 10 then in that case. He already did 9.9 and I'm predicting that he is going to take a little bit of a step back in terms of, you know, self-creation. And I feel like last year he really kind of mastered that deep three. So I feel like if he sticks to that, drives a little less, sticks to the deep threes and sticks to catch and shoots, it could be really interesting. But yeah, I'll take the over in that case. If it's 9.9 that last season, I'd have no reason to believe it would lower. So
I honestly thought it was like 8. I swear in my notes I had like 8.8, 9.9, 9.9 for
Yeah, that's Anthony. Shocking. I did not know it was that high.
So let's go into who should we do next? This is fun. You know what? Let's do Precious Achiuwa. I think this is a really sort of fun one to talk about. Precious Achiuwa. There's been a lot of debate on whether people want him to start games or want him to come off the bench, have Gary start, what have you. So my question to you is, do you think Precious starts least 35 games next season? So I'm going to set the over and under at 34.5. And of course, there is obviously injuries that can play a role. We also see Ken Burch, who's looked really great. He snags some starting roles when the Raptors need a center. I don't know. I'm leaving this up to you. So last year, just to let you know, he started in 28 games, and now I'm picking it up to 34. And so the over and under set at 34.5.
I think that Precious started a lot of games out of necessity last season.
Yes.
But I don't think he is. I think they just much prefer to have him come off the bench because he just dominates against other, you know, bench players. So I think that the Raptors just prefer to have Gary on the floor as a really skilled self-creator to help, you know, loosen the constriction of the court for Pascal and Scotty and OG. I feel like he's just necessary, Gary. And he's shown like he just plays off of their dynamic well by just expanding the floor a little bit along with Fred. And I feel like with Precious, it would just be so redundant, the starting lineup. Like it would just, yeah, it would be too overwhelming for the Raptors to, I feel like you'd see guys bumping into each other and stuff. Like it would be kind of a mess. Precious really, like, Precious has his moments where he really does create, but his strength is as a finisher. So having him with the second unit with Pascal or Scotty staying, but like, I think it's usually Pascal who stays on the court and then he gets to facilitate for Precious and has him finish plays, finish lobs, drive and stuff like that, cut. I don't think that they see Precious as a starter at all. And it doesn't make too much sense to me. I don't know why it's like much of a debate. I think that they could have better options. I know it's not ideal that Gary starts. Like, I know that they would rather have some bench scoring and, you know, balance it out that way. But there, I feel like there are some nuances to the dynamic that make it so that Fred, I mean, Gary needs to start and that Precious coming off the bench, it just makes more sense. So I think if Batten, if Delano really blossoms this season, it would mend a lot of the issues that fans see with the bench unit. I think it would give them a really good facilitator with all of the you know, potential in someone like Precious, in Coloco, in Boucher as well. So
right.
I think that I'm choosing the under on him starting 30, almost 35 games.
I'm taking the under as well. I also am not totally sure what the obsession is with, like, the starting lineup needing to feature Precious Achiuwa. Like, the starters, like, the typical starters with Precious in for Gary played 45 minutes last year. What are we basing any of these numbers on? I don't quite understand it. Also, the Raptors are not a team that, like, does these hockey rotations. They play a lot of hybrid lineups. We're going to see a lot of your starters mixed in with the bench. So in my opinion,
yeah, that's that too.
Yeah, like, so I'm not, like, too worried about what the sort of bench scoring and lineups look like. And also, if I'm going to have a prototypical bench score, like your six man come up who can kind of be your microwave offense type of guy and get you a lot of points, which is what I imagine lots of people are sort of pegging Gary Trent Jr. as, I want that person to be an elite playmaker as well. Like, you need to be able to do both. You can't be Jamal Crawford if you don't have the playmaking chops. You can't be Lou William if you don't have the playmaking chops. Lou Williams, I don't know why I cut it short. I was probably thinking,
which is why people are so happy about Batten. People are so happy to see Lana looking good, because he has the potential to fill that exact role.
Exactly.
Like, his speed, his ability to finish, his playmaking, it can be perfect if he does pan out the way we want him to.
Exactly. So, like, to me, Gary is not that prototypical person that you would sort of slot in. He's not your Jordan Poole. He's Gary Trent Jr. And also, why wouldn't you want your starters to just be your five best offensive options as well? Like, it could be so easy. I don't understand the overcomplicating of it. So I'm there. I'm with you as well. I think starting Gary Trent Jr. is what makes the most sense, until unless he possibly moves. That's another thing that lots of people are sort of talking about right now is, will Gary Trent Jr. be a Raptor by the end of the season? Will he play out his season as a Raptor? So I looked it up. The trade deadline is on February 9th, and the Raptors play their 56th game on February 8th. So my over and under for Gary Trent Jr. for you is, does he play 56 games, 55.5 games, or 56.5 games for the Toronto Raptors? What are you taking?
Oh God!
Now that you on the trade deadline,
going, and then now you're seeing what Jordan Poole is getting paid. There was someone who got paid the other day.
Tyler Hero. Oh, Andrew Wiggins just got paid the other day. Tyler Hero,
yeah,
and
these
Jordan
guys
Poole
are getting max contracts. As
Wiggins took a pay cut. He took a pay cut to be on a championship team.
Yeah, yeah. There was Tyler Hero got a ridiculous amount. Jordan Poole was the one that happened recently.
Just the other day.
140.
140 for 4 years.
My God, that's max money. That's more than Pascal got paid.
Pascal
was the max at the time.
Pascal was on a fair, like, and the cap is just going to continue to go up. So these contracts that we're talking about are just gonna look,
yeah, gonna balloon. But yeah, Gary's gonna get the exact same, if not, like, he's gonna expect the exact same, unless he's willing to take a pay cut, which I doubt. As someone in their prime or entering their prime, he's still young.
He's still incredibly young. Yeah,
yeah, he's gonna try and maximize his earnings while he's healthy and young. So the prospect of paying him that much is not something Masai is gonna do. I don't think so. Yeah, it's a lot of money. So him being packaged this season, I don't think he's going to play more than, what was it, 56 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a goner. I think he's a goner around the trade deadline. Like, I just don't see him. Is this his final year? His contract?
He has an opt-out, which
he's opting out. He's gone in a package. My question, though, is what kind of package?
Yeah, I was going
to
ask.
An equivalent or even lesser player just to fill in that gap in a shooting guard? Or is he going to be packaged with, you know, one of our premier players for something more ambitious? So, yeah, that's something to look forward to this season, to see how the Raptors, they're really just kind of building the foundation for their future with a talent like Scotty. Who's, like, you know, a baby in basketball years now. And then he has, like, all of these pieces in his orbit already. Other young players in Precious, in OG, in Koloku, in, you know, that are surrounding him. And there's so much potential that I can see the Raptors being ambitious and kind of swinging for another young, incredible talent. To, they have everything they need to do it. They have the contracts, they have the young players with high ceilings, and they have the picks. So,
yeah,
you know, it was meant to, I'm sure that they got close with Kevin Durant, but that was so complicated. And there was just so many moving parts in that potential deal. But we do know that the Raptors were among the forefront teams trying to go for that, but they just didn't want to give up Scotty, or I bet they either wanted Scotty or Pascal, so or both, who knows. I think that because we know what happened this summer with the Kevin Durant situation, it's almost guaranteed, actually, now that I think about it, that Gary is not going to be here, and that they're going to go for a young talent, I think, to replace him and to kind of build the foundation for the team's future.
Yeah, I think the contracts that are being handed out right now, the Raptors, I don't believe they'd be willing to give Gary Trent Jr. that. And just to plug in a piece that I will have coming out for Yahoo Sports Canada this week, it is specifically talking about a lot of the things that Yasmin just mentioned right there, which is the Raptors have put themselves in a prime position to make a trade for that guy. The Raptors don't have any bad contracts on the books. They have a lot of tradable assets on the books. They also have a lot of sort of similar pieces that the Raptors wouldn't mind consolidating some of those options. Now, I think all of them can work together, but you can also, you know, make up for the loss of some of these guys just because you've got a dearth of 6'9 players with 7 feet wingspans. And I personally, the piece is coming out. Check it out for Yahoo Sports Canada. Let's go to the next one. So the next one that I have for you here is, okay, so there's just a couple that I'll do really, really quick. First is Pascal Siakam. Pascal, since being a starter, has had one 40-point game every single year. He started off with 44 points in that championship season against the New Orleans Pelicans or the Washington Wizards. I have it here. It's just, I feel like those teams come up a bunch of times. He's hit 40 points in at least every single game, or one game every single season since being a starter. I'm going to set the over and under at 1.5. Do you think Pascal Siakam gets his second 40-point game in a year this year?
I don't see why not. He has a pattern, but also, like, I think that Pascal's 40-point games come after like a crescendo of really great games, and then you're just like, yes, all NBA. I would love to see it happen earlier so that he could secure an all-star spot.
I think he's got one. I think that's in the bag.
Yeah, so I think that Pascal kind of takes a while to warm up into the season, and then he really finds his flow into the second half. The second half is always a really great display. But I think that, you know, he's kind of expressed that he wants to be considered amongst the league's best players. So I think that this is a season where he's going to really show the skills that he's accumulated over the years, and show what he can do as a leader. With all of these because I think that what's great about the Raptors team is that they have guys around him who can push him, who are, you know, as physically gifted, as skilled, and that, you know, they can have him. I feel like that's why last season was so great. I think Scotty being alongside him really kind of just sparked a lot of his I feel like it unlocked his playmaking a little more, and showed us, whoa, there's like something really special here that he can dig into. So I think next season, maybe it will be OG and his need to improve as a scorer that will kind of help him blossom as well. So I'm excited to see.
I'd love to see it. I think
he can do it.
I agree. So speaking of improved playmaking, Scotty Barnes, he has not hit a triple double, but he's been very close. Now I'm going to put it at 1.5. I'm going to say one, we can almost pencil in, right? I'm putting it in pen. He's going to get his first triple double this season.
Oh yeah. But
will he get his second? I'm putting the over at 1.5. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm gonna say he gets his second.
I love that.
I think Scotty sees himself as a point guard. You know, I think that Yeah, his playmaking is something he loves to flex. I think that I can see him demonstrating what makes him so unique as a player. Like, you know what I mean? I think I feel like he fought so hard for his rookie of the year. I think that this season for him is about showing that he's on the cusp of all-stardom, and I think that that would be a way to show it to Iraq. And he's completely capable. He's had how many games with like more than 10 assists? And
he's been real
he's
close
just been
again.
Short with the rebounds, and he's a great rebounder, so I can see him easily doing it.
And the last one, so this is one that I think lots of people are talking about just after a preseason where the Raptors could not hit a three-point shot to save their lives. The Raptors, what do you think their three-point percentage is going to be? Now, I'm going to give you the over and under at 35.5. That would make them league average. Last year, they just shot at 34.9. So they were not that far off. They were the 20th ranked three-point shooting team at 34.9. The 15th was the Cleveland Cavaliers at 35.5. I'm going to put that as the over and under for the Raptors. Do you think they can hit that mark?
I think they hit it, like, especially close, just like they did last season. I think that's my guess.
They hit over, so are they in the 35s?
Let's see. No, I'm not going to say that they're at the 35s yet. I'm going to say, I'm going to give the under.
Okay.
On the 3-point, because only because they haven't had any, you know, additions to indicate that additions that
Otto Porter?
Oh, no, you bring up a good point. that's good for 1%. I'm going to say over then in that case. I'm going to say over in that case because, he provides that exact type of shooting that they need at the center spot outside of Boucher. You bring up a good point. I'm going to say the over on 3-point percentage, they'll be slightly above average. And they'll have great games and terrible games. That's how it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be like the variance is going to be incredibly
0
high.
And 48.
The Precious Achiuwa and Chris Boucher.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I have 3-point shooting teams. Yeah. Thank you so much, Yasmin, for joining me. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Please let us know what your picks are on these over and unders. And my name is Iman, and we're out.
Bye.
Bye.